Thanks again for joining us on An Uplifting Word. Let's go to the Word of the Lord and look at staying sweet when others foul things up. Staying sweet when others foul things up. The young Joseph was in prison in Egypt. He had been thrown into prison unjustly. While there, he made friends with an Egyptian official, one of Pharaoh's officials, and during this time, this official had a dream, which he could not explain, but Joseph, through the Spirit of the Lord, interpreted the dream. And then, here's what Mr. Joseph said. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will release you and restore you to your position. Good news for this official. I'm sure a big smile spread across his face as he heard this news. Then we go to the next verse, and here we see Joseph's heart, his broken heart. Here Joseph says, "When all goes well with you, remember me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." Joseph was in prison and wasn't enjoying it one bit. And so he pleaded with this man, "Please, whenever you are restored to Pharaoh's throne room, speak to him for me and get me out of this prison." But you know what the scripture says? In Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, it says, "The man did not remember Joseph, dash, he forgot him." He did not remember Joseph, he forgot him. And Joseph continued languishing in prison. He really fouled things up for Joseph. I mean, Joseph had done this man a great service. He had attended the man's needs while he was in prison and then interpreted the meaning of his dream. And sure enough, this man, as Joseph predicted, was released from prison. Joseph had done all types of favors for him, but he could not remember to do a favor for Joseph. Well, brother, sister, what do you and me do whenever people foul things up for us? Let's look at the scriptures and see how Joseph handled this incident when this man really fouled or messed things up for Joseph. We want to rest in God's ability to work things out for our good. We want to rest in God's ability to work things out for our good. Look at Genesis chapter 41, verse number 14.
"So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh."
Here it is. 2 or 3 years after the Egyptian official was released from prison, he suddenly remembered Joseph. He spoke to Pharaoh at just the right time. Pharaoh needed someone to interpret his dream. And so, the official had forgotten about Joseph for at least 2 years, but now he remembers him. And Pharaoh sends for Joseph, releases him from prison, and eventually exalts him to second in command of the entire nation. You see, God worked for Joseph's good, even though this official fouled things up. Brother, sister, it works the same way for you and me. God is always working for our good, even when others seem to foul things up for us. Listen to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse number 4.
"The Lord works out everything for his own ends."
Isn't that good? God works out everything for his own ends, his own purposes, his own goals. So, brother, sister, God has a goal, a purpose for your life. And even when things go badly, or even people cause things to go badly in your life, Proverbs 16:4 says that God is going to make everything work out for his own ends. You see, God expertly causes things to go better than we expect. We have illustration after illustration in the scriptures of God causing things to go better than we ever expected. Let's look at Jesus, Luke chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 1 and 2.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry.
Here Jesus experienced 40 days by himself in the wilderness. Mark's gospel says he was with the wild animals. He was basically defenseless, fasting, nothing to eat, growing weaker and weaker. And the scripture says he was tempted 40 days by the devil. Seems pretty severe. But look at the result of these 40 days of fasting and these 40 days of resisting every kind of satanic device and deception. Luke 4, verse 14.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit.
There it is. When Jesus left the wilderness, he experienced a new power, an awesome power of the Holy Spirit that he had not known earlier. He returned, it says, to Galilee, to Israel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and his official ministry began. The miracles were flowing. Raising people from the dead, dividing the fish and the loaves, and feeding multitudes, preaching the word. It all began because Jesus experienced the wilderness and the satanic temptation. So, brother, sister, God is expert at causing things to go better than we expect. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
Jesus was crucified and buried. Everybody was hopeless. All his followers were down. But Jesus appeared to them. And in this verse, he announced, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." So here, Jesus was crucified in weakness, true, in total weakness. He was humiliated. He was persecuted. But he was raised from the dead with all authority in heaven and earth belonging to him. God expertly caused things to go better than anybody expected. In fact, I think that if Satan had understood what God was going to do for Jesus, he would have never, Satan would never have instigated the crucifixion. But brother, sister, it's the God to whom you belong. The God who causes things to go better than we expect. Exodus, please, chapter 14, verse 10, verse 27, and verse 28.
As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea.
Pharaoh and his army were about to annihilate every Jew gathered by the banks of the Red Sea. And yet God intervened. He led Israel through the sea. But when Pharaoh and his army entered the sea became their enemy. It became their grave. Brother, sister, the Israelites thought everything was against them, but it turned out that everything was for them. So, brother, sister, please, God is working in your behalf even when people foul things up. In fact, listen to this, please. God's ability to fix things up exceeds people's ability to foul things up. Let me do that again, please. God's ability to fix things up exceeds people's ability to foul things up. This is the Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Here he's speaking to his brothers, the brothers who had betrayed him. And he said,
"You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives."
Here, Joseph pointed out to his brothers, yes, your intention was to harm me. Your intention was to get rid of me, to get me out of your life forever. But God's intention was to use all that's happened to me for saving your lives. So, brother, sister, Joseph was saying, basically, that God's ability to fix things up exceeded his brother's ability to foul things up. Psalm 115, verse number 3. Here we read,
"Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him."
How do you like that? God is in heaven. He's above everything. He's above every circumstance. He's above every difficulty, every surrounding. And he does whatever pleases him. And I'll tell you, God pleases to bless you. God pleases to guide you, to lead you, to use you. God is pleased to call you his child. And so, brother, sister, please relax. God's ability is what you want to concentrate on, not people's ability. People can foul things up real well. We can foul things up real well. But God's ability to fix things up exceeds all our ability to mess our lives up. So what we want to do, we want to rest in God. But we're going to have to make every effort to enter this rest. We're going to have to make every effort to keep our minds calm, to keep our minds on Him. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11.
"Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest."
Notice what it says. We want to make every effort to enter God's rest. What kind of rest? His ability to work things out for our good. So, we want to make every effort to enter the rest, the mental peace that God promises. Over and over and over in Scripture, He promises peace of mind, even if others have caused great trouble and chaos in our lives. Now, this peace of God will have to be taken. God offers it to us, but we have to strive to keep our minds focused and centered on what He says instead of what our eyes see or what our emotions are telling us. Our emotions might be full of turmoil, but we go to the Word and we say, God says this, and this is what I'm going to believe. I am going to be a participant in God's peace by resting in His ability to work things out. Let's read Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18. Now, here we're going to read a description of the kind of mind you can have. Here we're going to read a beautiful description of the kind of thought life we can enjoy even when others foul things up. Isaiah 32, verse 18 says,
"My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest."
Isn't that beautiful? Let's read that again, please, Dee.
"My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest."
Now take those statements and say, this is God's intention for me. No matter what's going on around me, no matter how people are treating me, I can live in an undisturbed place of rest in my mind, in my thought life, in my meditation. I can enjoy undisturbed places of rest. So, brother, sister, fight to rest in God's ability to work things out for your good. Not only your good, but the good of others. So, that's what Joseph did. When this Egyptian official forgot him and caused him more years of imprisonment, Joseph found rest in God. But also, we see that Joseph reacted to God first, not to people. It's so easy when people cause problems for us to react to them, to become angry at them, to think how we're going to hurt them, or wish that they would become hurt. That's our reaction. But we don't want to do that. We want to react to God first. Now here we're going to see a picture of Joseph reacting to God, not to people who hurt him deeply. Genesis 45, verse number 5 and verse number 8.
And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.
Now here he's speaking to his brothers. And he says, don't be angry with yourselves that you sent me here, because it was God who sent me ahead of you. His attention was on God, not on his brothers. Now let's read verse 8.
So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God.
Incredible. That's what we want to do, brother and sister. We want to ask God, Lord, help me keep my attention on you and not on people who foul things up for me. It was you. It was not you who sent me here, but it was God, Joseph said to his brothers. Look at Jesus. Here's the crucified Jesus in Luke 23, verse 34.
Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
You see, his attention was on God. And my brother, my sister, that's a difficult prayer for us to pray, but we have to do it. And if you will pray to Father, Father, forgive those who hurt me, who interfered with my life, who disappointed me, God, forgive them. See, you'll be turning your attention upward to God. So, this is the God to whom we belong. We want to react to Him. Others really never foul things up for us. It's impossible for people to interfere with God's plan for your life. Now, it sure looked like that they had caused Joseph to be diverted from God's plan. But whenever others caused Joseph's imprisonment in Egypt, whenever this official caused his imprisonment to be lengthened, yet God was working in all of this and through all of Joseph's circumstances. So you see, people cannot foul things up for us. We foul things up for ourselves by reacting to others instead of reacting to God. We cause our own problems by reacting in anger toward others. Look at what happened. Luke chapter 9, verse 52 through 54.
And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?
Here, Jesus sent his apostles ahead of him to prepare his way for him. And this particular village refused to receive Jesus. And the apostles, what did they do? Did they react to God? No, they reacted to the people. They said, Jesus, let us call fire from heaven and burn these people up. Anger, bitterness. Let's look at the same book, chapter 22, verse 49 through 51.
When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him.
Here, another scripture tells us that it was Peter who swung the sword that night. He was ready to defend Jesus, cutting this man's ear off. But Jesus said, no more of this. And then Jesus took the ear, I assume that it had landed on the ground, and reattached it to the man's head. Jesus performed a miracle of healing for a man who was there to arrest him and take him to the cross. So you see, Jesus reacted to God. The apostles reacted to people. Bitterness always chokes us with ungodly feelings. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, what you're doing for the Lord, bitterness will choke you with ungodly feelings toward those who foul things up for you. And this bitterness stifles our love for God and others. It just always happens that way. Love for God produces love for others. Bitterness toward others stifles our love for God. So we can't afford bitterness. So we want to react to God rather than to people. How do we do this? We react to God with thanksgiving for fixing things up. We react to God with thanksgiving when somebody hurts us, betrays us, or fouls things up for us, instead of angrily denouncing them, instead of feeling hateful, rude feelings in our hearts toward them, we start thanking God for the situation. Listen to Ephesians, please, chapter 5, verse number 20.
Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Always giving thanks to God for everything. Notice those words, always, everything. So, brother, sister, if you want to cure yourself of bitter feelings toward people who foul things up for you, start thanking God for them. Start thanking God for the situation. Oh, you say, oh, I can't do that. I don't feel thankful. I don't believe in what you're saying. What about the scripture? It says plainly to give thanks always for everything. You see, what it's saying is turn your eyes to God, the God who used Joseph's imprisonment to put Joseph at the right place at the right time. Actually, Joseph's imprisonment led to his elevation. Can you imagine that? Going from a lowly prisoner to second in command of Egypt because he refused to harbor bitterness toward this Egyptian official who forgot him and didn't get him out of prison. Brother, sister, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God.
There it is. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because giving thanks is the will of God. Now, not giving thanks just for the good stuff, but it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So the thanksgiving, my brother and my sister, is God's perfect will for your life. No, it doesn't mean we're approving of what others do. We're not approving of what they did to us. We're not approving of their actions and their behavior. But we are simply giving God thanks. Jesus didn't approve of those who crucified him, but he asked for God to forgive them. So that's what we must do, brother, sister. Thanking God rescues us from bitter feelings. Thanksgiving to God rescues us from bitter feelings. That's why thanking God for everything in all circumstances is absolutely essential. It is not an option for you or me. It's difficult. Keeping God's commands sometimes is difficult, but it always brings a reward. It always brings a beautiful reward. So remember now, thanking God rescues us from bitter feelings against others who foul things up. Well, brother, sister, God wants Jesus' sweet spirit in you and me. He wants his sweet spirit controlling us. The same spirit that caused the crucified Jesus to pray, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's the kind of spirit God wants in you and me. Because a sweet spirit is a thing of beauty in the sight of God. Let's read beautiful descriptions of God, of Joseph's sweet spirit. Genesis, please. Chapter 45, verse number 7.
"But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance."
Here he's talking to the people who tried to murder him. Let's read it again, please, V.
"But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance."
Here Joseph says, "God sent me ahead. It wasn't you who sent me to Egypt. It was God sent me ahead of you to preserve your life with a great deliverance." Joseph is saying, "You did me wrong, but I want to do you a favor. I want to be good to you who were bad to me." This is in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 21.
"So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
How wonderful. The spirit of Jesus in Joseph. Here Joseph said, "I will provide for you." He spoke reassuring words to them. In Genesis 50, verse 21, because he was possessed by the sweet spirit of God. So, brother, sister, even though people sometimes foul things up for us, we want to learn to react to God with thanksgiving. We want to rest in God's ability to work things out for our good. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your example of how to stay sweet in spirit, no matter how people treat you or us. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your blessing upon us in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.